The University of Kansas Health System is proud to be the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Current. From youth athletes to the pros, we put player care first to turn their dreams into reality. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/kccurrent.
Hey everybody, this is Nick Lowry of the Kansas City Chiefs and Canaway Sports, and you're listening to The Ship, Darren Smith on Sports Radio 810 WHB and ESPN Kansas City. And guess what? There's another ship coming down, baby. It's called a championship.
Mastercraft on the beat.
Welcome back to The Ship with Darren Smith here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Of course, if you know who that is, and you know who my next guest is. But still joining us, of course, from Tyler, Texas, Michael Coleman. Blake Schneider's keeping us on the air. But welcome to the show. Former Kansas City Chiefs All-Pro, Pro Bowler, one of the nicest guys that you will ever get a chance to meet if you get a chance to see him out in public. He is he's an artist, he's a producer, he's a business owner. He's just a great guy. Tom Bali joins the show. Tom, good morning to you.
Darren, thanks for having me. I appreciate
that. Hey, man, I'm glad to have you because I know we've been talking about it for a long time to get you on the show and stuff like that. And then I got the Facebook accept. I was like, Tom's like, man, it's been so long. Because I know you were doing music. Or I know you were in that process while you were playing with the Chiefs, and then we would talk about it from time to time. You'd be like, Darren, just hit me up, email, stuff like that, because I have a brother. Brother's a rapper. I'm like, man, you got to hear him. I said, hear me going, take the time. But tell people about what you got going on, because I know you had a listening party on Thursday that my sister-in-law was a part of that I got a chance to stop by. And then, of course, you had your event on Friday evening. So just give people an update on what's going on, man.
Well, currently I've just been inducted into this thing go up.
Yeah.
There we go. I just got inducted into the Chiefs Ambassador. It's a nonprofit organization. They raise money and help the community here in Kansas City. But I do music and I promote the music overseas. It's Afrobeat. It's a new genre that's starting to make life here in the States, but it's mainly promoted overseas in Liberia, Ghana, Nigeria, Tanzania. Obviously, it's cost effective that way anyway.
Oh, yeah.
And people know me in America for being a football player, so it's always hard to now just become a artist after you've done 20 years in a different profession. So, and I'm not doing it for fame. But it brings me to, again, I do music. I love doing it. So we tie it in with at least raising awareness for some of our problems here in the States, in the community, as well as where I'm from, Liberia.
So I'm curious, when you were, one, the thought process, was it something that you always wanted to do and you were going to allow your football career and, what you earned and stuff to help you? Put this, do you do this, or did you always knew that you were going to do this one way or the other? And then also, one of your former teammates, Dwayne Bowe, I know he's an artist, so to speak. Did you have conversation with him before you got started, or just, his experience in the business to where he could, give you some insight?
Dwayne used to come over and I had a studio since I've been in the league. But Dwayne would come over and we'd rap, and it was just a hobby for Wayne at that time. I always did it. I signed a couple artists. I signed Gilly the Kid. He's a big influencer right now on the internet, social media. I think he has the number one podcast in the world, I guess, right now.
Oh man, we got to link up. About that.
He's making a lot of headways there. But I signed him. I signed some producers and. I knew I couldn't do it because I was in football. I always wrote music, rap from this standpoint. But afterwards, I was lucky to be get with a really dope producer. His name is Mastercraft. He's from Nigeria. So ever since I started working with him, he's so musically gifted. He was able to look at me and say, okay, this is how we can market you a little bit in the music world, because he knows music is hard and it's a grind, it's a hustle. I was speaking with a woman, she's like, it's a hustle. Don't you get nervous being on stage? And I'm, you know, and I'm like, yeah, I get nervous to get on there, and you want everything to be right. You need to hear the sound. You know, you need to know, like, if you're on key. Everything is different from the studio to stage. But I enjoy doing it. I've always did it. Even in college, I would make beats. If you ask teammates, I was always rapping. It kept me out of trouble. So it's something I always did since I was in high school, since I got to the country.
Mike, I'll let you jump in after this and make me want you as well. What's been your best experience, I guess, with doing this? I mean, I know you say you've done it for a long period of time. What's been like some of your most, prized moments in the music industry and doing what you do?
Well, working with different people. I wouldn't categorize the music business as one of those fun business. It's not a lot of good people in this business. I've been warned about this.
This business as well.
So, when you get to work with genuine people who are not just business, and they're like, okay, like my producer, he's not so money driven, but producers that I've worked with, some of them are just so money driven. If you don't get the money, you don't get the record. You know, they don't trust anything. So I would say prize movement is just working with some good people.
Would you say though the creativity, because like I said, because you're working with different artists and producers, sometimes it challenges you creatively to come up with dope stuff to where you can be like, that ish is fire. I mean, to me, if I was in your position, I'm thinking, okay, what's gonna get me up in the morning, and what's gonna help motivate it? But then if you're working with a certain artist or producer, and you all can, you all are clicking, then that's where magic starts to happen, and it's like, okay, I'm seeing where this is going, and now, yeah, I'm loving this, and then see if you can, recreate or even enhance that the very next day or something like that.
Yeah, making music is hard. It's not as easy as people think as it is. Writing lyrics, let's just say rap lyrics, is easy because it's your expression. But
you still got to put it to beat. You still got to stuff. Yeah,
that part is easy. But having content from that's gonna resonate with other people when they're seeing it, then that's what's hard, because either you have to be real about what you're saying, or you have to really dumb it down so people can enjoy it. So it's, it's hard that way. But, coming up with lyrics, you can say what you want to say. It's been, it's been Snow White and all of those people been.
Hey, man, rap's never been my thing. Tom Ali joined us on the ship with Darren Smith today here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Mike, go ahead.
Tomba, I covered you when I was working at KCTV5 in Kansas City, so it's good to see that you have flourished. Because I remember you trying to do little music back then. One of my photographers, I think you gave him a CD.
Okay.
And I don't know if you remember that. And the short guy, balding dude, because he's like a DJ kind of guy. And when he played your stuff for me, I was like, wow. And I thought, when's he get time to do this? And so I knew at that time. I said, wow, okay, if he decides when it's time for him to move on, I hadn't realized how into it you were and are. I mean, I just, did a little quick look at you. I mean, as a kid, you were playing instruments. So you've been exposed to music for a very, what were you exposed to first? Football, maybe even soccer, or music first? What came first?
Well, it had to be music just because of the church.
Okay.
Having a mom minister and a stepdad minister. Yeah, so we have
to. Hey, I grew up as a pastor, a preacher's kid. I know all about that, man. I know all about that.
So, yeah, it was being in church. I wasn't exposed to secular music till I got to the States, and that's when Biggie and Pac and them was at there. I got here in 94, so that's, that's when I couldn't read and write then, so I'm learning how to read and write by rhyming.
Mm.
So that's what really caught me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's when hip hop was really on the, they started doing all that
trajectory.
Beefing, and it was a lot of tension. hip hop was really doing well in the media, but a lot of tension with the different groups.
Mike, the one thing, Blake, I'll let you chime in just a second. The one thing I've always wondered is, What would have happened if those beefs weren't around and a Tupac and a Biggie were still alive today around it, especially in the era that in the Obama administration, Bush and Trump, how would their voices affect what, you know, what we hear, what we see today, because, you know, I mean, they were so influential back then. So,
You know, it's hard for us to speak today. So the life we're living today, we would love to wake those guys up, because in our day of age, if you even just talk about something that you don't, it's just your opinion. There's groups of people that's risen up here that will shut you down, and you're like, man, like you know, you're trying to feed your family and you're trying to be honest. So those guys probably even blossom on in this society, because they'll have more to talk about. Like, yeah. We don't care.
And the beats and the
lyrics. Yeah, they would have a whole lot more to talk about. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. Yeah.
Blake, you want to chime in?
Yeah, so kind of touching two points, touching on the first thing you said, Tamba, was the fact that you played and you got to see kind of the evolution of the NFL. You played when social media really wasn't that big of a deal.
Right.
It wasn't to the, you know, the Everest that it is today. So how did you kind of navigate that as all that started coming out, and how, what is your kind of take on that now in the NFL from a player perspective of how guys should be managing, you know, whether they should be saying something or not, definitely not be saying something for the public eye?
Very important. Being part of the league, you have to kind of know that you're representing a bigger brand than yourself.
Yep.
The it small shields. Platform as a, you know, a Twitter, a social, whatever social handles, they're not as big as that big brand. So whatever you're doing, you should just kind of monitor. What I did was I really didn't do much on it, because I realized, I said, this is going to get you in trouble, especially playing in the league. You're not in the league, yeah, you may get in trouble with the law if you're doing something unlawful, but this is where you eat. This is your money, and this is the people who you're representing every day you wake up. So you should kind of, you know, monitor what you're doing, your lifestyle, what you put on there. All of those things matter.
So when you see guys, and just because he's now in here in Kansas City with Juju Smith-Schuster, and guys who do want to build a brand while they're also playing for a team that is its own brand itself, how does one navigate that area to be smart? And is it okay for guys to still build their brand as long as they're doing it correctly and not, you know, going out and, you know, wiling on the Twitter, wiling on Instagram and on the TikTok?
Yeah. There's a guy that the Badger, right?
Tyrann Mathieu.
Yeah, someone works for him, right? I'm sure someone is tweeting for him.
I think that's him.
I think it's him.
No, that's Tyrann, because Tyrann will come in right after the game and get on. He did that a lot.
It has to be two people.
Unless he's putting out certain things and then somebody else is flip-siding it for him later when it's a little bit more eloquent.
So I want to say, I think there are firms out there that knows how to build brands, that knows how to market, you know, whoever wants to be marketed. I think there are good companies out there that knows how to do it. People like us as players, our job is to go on the field and play. So if you keep that as your focus, you can build your brand that way. But while you're playing in the league, to build a brand, it's just so hard. That couldn't be your focus. You love the game. Put your time in the game. Enjoy it while you can. You got the rest of your life to do this branding thing.
But see, here's the thing, Natalia, and I'm thinking about it. But in your case, mm-hmm. because of where you come from, your upbringing and culturally, things are different than it is in Kansas City, because here in the country, because if you stop and think about it, Giannis doesn't really worry about his brand. You know, Luka doesn't really worry about his brand. Like, it seems to be like foreign players. This is just my thought process. But those players come here, like, they let their work ethic and everything else work for itself. Where again, you talk about people. I think Tyrann Mathieu does it because, I mean, I've seen essentially where he comes off the field, goes, you know, and gets on, and he's on social media. As soon as they walk off the field, because I remember a couple of incidents last year, I think in Tennessee or something, where, you know, he thought somebody thought he was cussing out fans. He came and just like, bro, it ain't even been 2 minutes after he got off the field, and he's already on social media. So I said it to say, but then you look at someone like AB, Juju, I think those players, they try to utilize their own brand. But to Juju's point, I gave him a ride one day. I gave Juju a ride, and I told him, I said, look, man, I know you love it. I know you love the TikTok thing. I said, but win. I said, if you win, then see, if you perform on the field, your brand will come. I mean, because you know, because if you all doing this TikTok stuff before the game and you don't have a good game, like, bro, what are you doing? You like you because people are gonna be thinking you're mining on the game, but more so on your brand. Again, like Patrick Mahomes, his first full year as a starter, which would equate as a rookie season, Lee Steinberg didn't have him do any commercials, didn't do any of this, but it wasn't until after he did 50 touchdowns, 5,000 yards, MVP. Then that's when things start to open up because they didn't allow it to be the focal point. He built his brand on the field first, and everything else came after. So, I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just saying that it just seems like depending on your makeup, where you come from, your upbringing, or whatever, to where that because I should probably be big on social media, but it doesn't. But the thing, I don't put a lot of my personal stuff on social media. And I tell people that, like, hey man, that stuff can be used against you. You know, I mean, I'm a political guy. It is what it is. But, but you don't see me post a whole bunch of stuff, my family and relationship stuff like that, because I don't want that out there because it can be attacked and stuff like that. So, I mean,
yeah, I mean, if you're in the business world, obviously you want to conduct yourself in a way that you're still able to mingle with other people and not offend other people because you're trying to build your brand. You know, your brand, it's tough. I feel sorry for those guys living in the league right now and trying to promote themselves because, again, the league is, it's a brand. You being part of it is a big thing. After you
and
leave
the league,
you're never
going to be bigger than the Shield.
You're not going, I don't ever think you'll leave the league and then find another brand and say, oh, this is the biggest thing that's happened. It's just not going to happen. So if you're able and fortunate and you make it to the league, that is the brand. Do the best you can to, make sure that you leave a mark with the league. And then whatever you do afterwards, that's a hobby.
Well, and to your point, like you said, if you're trying to split your focus, I'm assuming your focus for building a brand is also wanting to make money off that brand. Well, if you're focused on football, you're going to make more money from your football days. And then, like you said, worry about that first and foremost, because then you're going to have money to make the money. And if you're too worried about making eating out of two different hands, you're not going to be stacking up in the left hand as much as you are going to be in the right hand. So then you're going to be drop dead out of the league in 4 years, and you're not going to have anything. You're not going to have your league or your brand.
Yeah, there's no brand. There's the league. You play for the league. You do well. The name that you carry on your back, it's your brand, sure. Afterwards, what
and
you
your
do,
family name, yeah, will be representing.
Whatever you do with it, it would be great. I mean, it's hopefully you leave a good name, which should work for you. But the branding thing, and if you start going back into time and look at this branding thing, it's not just for one entity. It's not just for one person. This whole social media thing is tricking the world. It's not the reason they created it is so they can sell something. Who sells something? Bunch of people who have created company. That means more people.
it's a circular thing. Hey, look, we're going to take a quick time out because I want to get your thoughts, get everyone's thoughts on the Chiefs schedule and some of these predictions as we come up. And then any advice that you would give, this rookie class of the Kansas City Chiefs. So keep it locked into the ship. We're joined by Tom Ali for this hour here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Lee Steinberg of Steinberg Sports, and you're listening to The Ship with Darren Smith on Sports Radio 810, WHB, and ESPN Kansas City.
This is Real Mike Robb of NFL Network Super Bowl champion of the Seattle Seahawks. You're listening to The Ship with Darren Smith on Sports Radio 810, WHB, and ESPN Kansas City.
Live up. Baby, do me that thing where they blow my mind. You did give me that feeling of all that you want.
Welcome back to The Ship with Darren Smith here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Our special guest this hour, Mr. Tom Ali. Michael Coleman still joining us from Tyler, Texas. Gentlemen, the NFL released the schedule of the Chiefs once again. 5 primetime games with the ability, obviously, to get flex into more. Their first big matchup, just looking at their schedule, of course, their opening game, they travel to Tempe or Phoenix, Arizona to take on the Arizona Cardinals. Following 4 days later, they'll host their division rival, the Los Angeles Chargers, in the Thursday night game on Amazon Prime. In week 4, just week 3, they then travel to Indianapolis take on Carson, no, not Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan and the new look Indianapolis Colts. And then, of course, in week four, one of the biggest games of the year, because there are many of them this season, you got the Chiefs traveling to Tampa Bay to take on the Bucs. Mike, I'll start with you, and then we'll go with Tom, but get your thoughts on the first four games that the Chiefs are going to be playing.
Didn't I read that they're the first team to open up with either the first eight games of playoff teams, I think, something like that.
I think first eight games of teams with winning records.
Records.
First one.
That's a stacked schedule. Now, that's a heck of a schedule. And, again, see, the Chiefs are hot money right now. And you want to get them on as much as you can because we know the Mahomes factor. And, you know, I hadn't realized it until someone had acknowledged it that, what, there are only three starters on the offensive side of the ball since the Super Bowl. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and McCall Hartman.
Travis. Well, see, that's just it, man. I mean, that in itself is intriguing. And if you're a guy like Taba Ali, what are you thinking on the defensive side? It's like, wow, we got only three cats from the Super Bowl season. What would your reaction be, Tamba?
Whoever I am on the team, that means I'm a veteran right now.
And I still got a job.
Yeah, I got a job. I got to play.
Yeah, right.
When you look at the schedule, Tom, when it was announced, I mean, what was your thought process? I mean, because they said the Chiefs have the fifth hardest schedule. And I'm just looking at it. I'm like, man, it's much harder than that, it looks like. You know, I think. And it was interesting that the team only has three noon games at home, and that's against actually, I think they only got three noon games, period. But they play, hell, at home. They play the Jaguars, and I think the Seahawks are the only two games. And the Broncos. I think the Broncos game will get might get flexed or just get to an afternoon game on New Year's Day. But, you know, the Chiefs, I mean, looking at that, obviously you got the division rival games. You got the Texans, the Bengals again. I mean, and we know what happened with them last year. The Super Bowl champions are coming into Kansas City, which late afternoon game, contract, it's not a night game. But, I mean, but just your thoughts when you look at this lineup for the Chiefs that they have to face this year.
The schedule looks hard, but I think that's how Andy likes it. Andy likes to play all the tough teams. He wouldn't want it any other way.
As a player, though, when this schedule's announced, what are you all looking at when the schedule comes out?
I like how Andy thinks. The way I want to play good teams. Obviously, we're selfish at times. We want to have our numbers. As a player, we want to make sure we get the numbers. But when the schedule's like that, we got all these night games. For me as a player, I grew up on night games, Saturday nights.
Yeah.
So I want to play these night games, and the world will be watching.
And so, and Tom, you can answer this, but Mike, I'm curious about you being in the media. I hate noon games. I mean, and look, I don't know if it's just have to wake up. I can't stay up late Saturday night, but I have to wake up early Sunday morning, try to beat the traffic to Arrowhead. And I usually would get there between 8:30 and 9 o'clock. I don't like traffic, so I try to get there as early as I can. Late afternoon games, okay, cool. It gives me a chance to stop by Gates, pick up something to eat, and then head over there. Still get there about 3 hours early, but I can watch the first game, have a nice little meal, and then, you know, I got the late afternoon game. You know, then, of course, got the night game. Then, of course, I love the night games because I can watch the first game or I can just go to Gates and just be at the stadium all day doing what I do.
I thought it was because you get to go to church on a night game.
Man, I'm going to hell for that. But as a player, Mike, as a media player, I mean, which do you prefer?
No, I like the afternoon games bring something to the table. You know, you get a chance, you know, Sunday – it's a procrastinating day until you do what you really want to do. So in this case, whatever it is you got to do, whether it be you go to church or we don't have a Kansas City style barbecue place, so we got something called Spring Creek. So I opt for McDonald's, but whatever you get that out the way because you want to settle in. And even as I work on Sundays, I only have one show on Sunday night and that comes on at 10 o'clock. So it's an hour long newscast. So I get a chance to sit and actually watch the game, because sometimes you're producing a show, it's hard to keep up with what's going on because you got other things you got to be doing. But a late game, a good late game, I can be more in depth with it. So now I prefer the games early late in the afternoon.
Yeah, I prefer evening games. I don't know why I do. Noon is just, I sweat so much. Yeah, so like those noon games, that first quarter is just so hard, especially in the beginning of the year. But
well, to be fair, Tom, but you were always sweating profusely before the game started too. So
what? Well, yeah, man, you always wore sleeves. I could never. I mean, was that purposeful or what? You just didn't
sweat like well. Everything is so the sleeve kind of collects it, but yeah, I sweat.
Yeah, so when you take it off, it's like, okay, I gotta get a new one.
And I'm slick, so yeah, when I'm getting trying to get around those guys, they can't grab me, especially my arm. But yeah, I sweat.
Okay, so with the schedule release, was there any matchup? It doesn't have to be Chiefs, but was there any matchup that you like? You know, no matter what I'm doing, I got to make sure I'm in front of the television to watch this game.
Well, you said the Rams are coming here, right?
Yeah.
I think that's a big game. We wanted to see that game in the Super Bowl, so yeah. I think that's a big game.
Well, no, I'm pretty honest. Just looking at the Chiefs, I think the biggest game for them is going to be the Bengals game because you lost to, I mean, first of all, Joe Burrow is 2-0 against Patrick Mahomes.
Well, that's true.
You got, I mean, you had 18-point leads in both of those games on the road as well as at home, and you found a way to lose both. And the second one you lost cost you a trip to the Super Bowl for the third straight year, where you more than likely had a better chance of winning the Super Bowl this year than you did last year against Tampa because of the line and stuff like that. But at least I feel like you could have put up more than 21, 24 points in that game to where, you know, it would have been more of a ball game. So, I think for me, it's a mental thing. The division is going to be what it's going to be. I think the Chiefs can get the Titans a Sunday night game. If the game was in Nashville, I'd probably have to side with Tennessee because they find a way to pull out a game.
They play Tennessee?
Yeah, they play the Tennessee Titans.
That's a tough game.
November 6th,
week
right
9,
here.
Right after the bye week.
Yep, right here, Kansas City, Sunday night football.
That's a tough game.
Yeah, so I'm saying, and obviously, with it being a quarterback-driven league, I mean, you look at these matchups, obviously Josh Allen, and that game comes in like week number 6, but you got Patrick against Kyler Murray, against Justin Herbert twice, obviously Matt Ryan, Tom Brady, Derek Carr. We don't know Jimmy Garoppolo or the other guy, Trey Lance. Who knows with that? Trevor Lawrence.
That's a tough schedule.
That's, yeah.
It's the hardest
guy in Joe Burrow. Broncos.
Russell Wilson.
You got to face Russ twice
now.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, I mean, even now Trevor Lawrence, you know, as of his quarterbacks, but the only one you really don't have any cause is David Mills with the Houston Texans. I mean that's why it's a noon game because it's like you never know.
These are the sleepers.
That's who will be the one that gets you in trouble. But again, are those matchups? Again, I know big quarterback, but any of those matchups stand out to you?
Like you said, I think the Cincinnati game, that's a big game. Losing to them twice, I think playing Vrabel. That's a big game. I think Super Bowl champs coming down. That's a big game. Yeah. Kyler Murray, the first game. You know, this young guy. You know, a lot of high hopes of him playing in the Super Bowl.
Now the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Hey, Chiefs are lucky though because you ain't got to face D Hop. You got to face D Hop
because
he's out six games. He's out 6 games. You know, for PED.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, yeah. He got spent like 2 weeks ago.
And not to mention, they have to go on the road in Buffalo and play Josh Allen in Buffalo.
No, Josh Allen.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Come on, man. Yeah, he comes here. Yeah. Trust me. As much as these plane tickets cost, I know exactly who's coming, who's going where.
The Chiefs play Buffalo at Buffalo.
No, sorry,
Buffalo
I messed that up. Here. That was me.
They play here. Yeah.
They come here.
Okay.
So what's interesting is, you know, the Chiefs' first 3 or 4 games on the road. So Cardinals, Chargers are here. Indianapolis Colts, Tampa Bay. The thing I really don't like about the schedule is that with the Chiefs being in flyover country in the middle of the country, every damn flight is expensive because you're flying coastal. I mean, so Arizona.
Darren, forget the flights.
Darren's racked up his points.
I can't. The problem is
Southwest is going.
No. Hold on. Here's the thing. I'm flying Southwest to Phoenix, and I'm flying Southwest to Tampa. But the problem is that I think Tampa. I'm fine, but it's either mid afternoon or no, it's early morning coming back. But man, Southwest used to fly had direct connections to Indianapolis. Yeah. They don't now. So it's like 5 to 7 hours. I'm like, well, hell, I'll just drive to Indy.
Indy. You could just drive there.
Well, I am now because of the continent. I mean, yeah. I could take the cheapest flights, but I got to wait 5 to 7 hours to get there, where it's essentially, it used to be a 2-hour flight. So I don't, you know, I don't know if it's because of COVID or what, but this stuff is crazy.
We're blessed in the U.S. We get to take flights. You need to come to Africa.
If you want to sponsor that trip, so be it. I'm freaking out about the prices just to get, you know, just to Indianapolis, let alone to Africa.
The kids got to walk like 4 hours just to get to school. Just so they can go to school for 4 hours. They got to be studying in the dark. You know, we're blessed.
Just perspective for you.
We talked about that earlier. I'm not saying that.
Flights are going to be expensive, guys. Book your tickets now.
Darren has a good booking agent for you, guys. Yeah. You can call Darren Smith.
Don't. My booking agent is mybookie.ag. So that's my bookie right there. Mike, obviously you cover the Dallas Cowboys. Was there anything in particular that stood out on you all's schedules?
Everybody really is hyped about Mike McCarthy going back to Green Bay. That's where, you know, he hasn't been back since he got bounced from there. And so I think it's like the October 2nd, I believe, game. That's going to be real interesting to see that and to see what the Cowboys do. The Cowboys are always, you know, the ones that I'm hearing a lot of and hearing a lot of good stuff about the guy they signed. I thought they had a decent draft considering what they didn't have. And, I know they're in shorts and T-shirts, but still, you still get an idea. And they're really big on this Williams kid, Sam Williams, that the red flag came up on, but they still took him out of Ole Miss. So, I think the Green Bay game, that's going to tell us a lot about either team.
Well,
either team.
Mike, I have a little pushback. I think that opening game against Tampa Bay, you start off 0-1, and, you know, now you're digging yourself about the hole.
But hold up, though. They did last year. They started out 0-1, and that was their – despite losing that game, I felt like that was the best game Dallas played in that game against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. And they lost that game, but it was their best game they played.
Yeah,
probably their toughest opponent at that point.
But is the Bucs as good as they was before?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you can say the same thing about Kansas City because of all the turnovers and stuff like that. You still got that quarterback. I mean, he's still that guy, man. I mean, that's the flip side of it, man. I mean, as long as you got that guy that when he steps on the field, you know you have a chance to win, and just stepping on the field somehow puts fear in the other opponent sometimes. I mean, sometimes that's all you need, Tom.
How many times did you get your paws on Tom Brady?
I don't know, maybe two.
Three. You said you was checking the stats at halftime, Tom. But come on, you know.
It's hard. You know, it's hard to sack. It's hard to sack him. It really is.
Because he gets the ball out too quick.
He does.
I mean, that's why he's been playing the league so long, because he gets the ball out quick, because he ain't trying to get hit.
About 2.5 seconds was his average for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, again, if you can still throw the ball and you get the ball out that quick, you can play a long time because you're not getting hit.
Yeah.
Oh, man. See, a little rap. See, how do you feel that?
You see how easy? Hey, Thomas said it was easy to write lyrics.
Hey. So, Tom, I'm so curious. Since you've been out over the last 4 or 5 years, what is what is your thought process on the defenses now that you've seen? Whether with the Chiefs, you know, their new crop of players are just around the league. What are your – you know, give me some of your MVP, just some of your thoughts on what you see around the league.
I think the defensive end position is expanding. The outside linebacker position is expanding into just being a pure pass rusher. I like what Joey Bosa, Nick Bosa, I like what the kid's doing with the Steelers.
Watt.
Oh, yeah.
I like what the Penn State kid is doing down there.
Dallas. Michael Parsons, yeah.
Yeah, it's a pass rushing thing. So I kind of like that. When I came in, it was Dwight Freeney. It was Peppers in them. They were kind of, freak of athletes. But these guys coming in, a little different, they're not like how we were. They can get it done in different ways.
Did you prefer standing up, or did you prefer having your hand in the ground?
It depends. As time went on, I prefer standing up because of the quarterback. The quarterback played different now. You want to see where they are. Before, when it was really just a passing league, I put my hand in the ground because I know he's going to be standing back there. Now it's not that.
But also your size. I mean, you were 62, 75. I mean, you don't see that many big linebackers like that, you know, too much anymore. I mean, they want them kind of, I don't know.
They got to run. They got to be, yeah. We're pass rushers, man. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, you could call it linebacker, but my job is to get to the passer. If I don't do that, I don't know if I can last long in the
league. Yeah, but as a linebacker, aren't you also supposed to stop the run, too?
I stopped the run.
No.
I love stopping the run.
I'm not saying you per se, but I'm saying people always talking about passing, you know, going after the quarterback. I'm like, you know, but yeah, you so busy running after the quarterback that the quarterback can hand it off and the running back get skirts through, and, you know, everybody's like, man, we got the worst linebacker in court. They can't stop the run. I'm like, yo, bro, I mean, so that's what I was putting that out there.
Yeah, I mean, what they're doing here at the Chiefs is different than what we did. They did a 4, they're doing a 4-4, mm-hmm. right, or 4-3. We did a 3-4. So having two good pass rushers, that's always – and then we had some good players in the middle. We had Don Terry Poe.
Oh, yeah.
So, we had some good guys in the middle. So our defense was built a little different. And we had good linebackers, good safeties. You paid Patrick a lot of money, so you got to protect him, and I'm not sure what you get on defense. But with these guys that, you know, that's coming in this draft, I haven't really watched the kid, the number one pick, the defensive end, but I'm hearing he has a motor. So, you know, I think that's going to work to our advantage.
I got to see what that motor does against the big boys now. Again, you know, and tell everybody, this is a whole different level. That, you know, everybody talk about that speed. That speed's a whole different
level. He played
in
the Big Ten, right?
Yeah. Played for Purdue. Yeah.
Yes. You play in the Big Ten. That's the closest you're going to get to NFL.
Oh, that's SEC. I'm sorry.
No,
SEC.
Not
that's SEC.
All,
yeah.
No, Big
you
Ten.
You play for Alabama. Alabama, and you know, okay, I give you Big Ten.
Big
look,
Ten, baby.
You play in those conferences outside
these
the
boys
Big 12.
Is big, man. These yeah. boys is big.
I'm just throwing shade. Go ahead,
boy. I think we've seen kind of an evolution of the defensive end position, because I do feel like it is smaller, mm-hmm. and maybe quicker. It just kind of depends on what, again, 3-4, 4-3. But with that, I see this pattern happening where, because they're going to start getting smaller, because they're going to have to be faster, the run game is going to come back into play a lot more heavily in the NFL. Not next year, not the year after that, but in the next 5 to 7 years, I think you're going to have a lot more guys that are more Derrick Henry-esque who can just blow by, because your guys are getting skinnier to pass rush and to drop back and pass coverage. But they're, you know, they're a little light in the ass is what they'd say, you know? So I think you're going to have that evolution.
Yeah, I agree. What Vrabel is doing, I think Vrabel is one player away from the Super Bowl in Tennessee.
Got to be quarterback.
Yeah, you know it. And I'm not here to put anybody under the bus or anything, but
that's my job.
He understands the fundamental football playing, run the ball.
Yeah.
Football,
great defense.
Yeah, and I feel like once you get someone behind there that can really throw the ball, because you had a good player. What's the guy? The receiver.
They had A.J. Brown and Julio.
Yeah, those are prolific players. You should be able to throw the ball.
Is that not, but when you say that, and just listen to what you said, that's why I like the Cleveland Browns so much this year, because you got Nick Chubb, you got Kareem Hunt, and to me, they were always a quarterback away because Baker Mayfield wasn't a guy. You bring in Amari Cooper. It would have been nice if they had brought Jarvis Landry, but they feel like they, you know, who they drafted is going to be good. You got a top four, top five offensive line based off that run game. You got Myles Garrett on the defense. You got Denzel Ward. Now you bring in Deshaun Watson. Now, I don't know if he gets suspended 3, 4, 5, however, but whenever he gets settled in behind that offensive line for what he's going to do. I like the Cleveland Browns, and I think it's going to fall some more on the coaching than it is the quarterback play, because I know what he's made out of. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, Baker Mayfield was someone who was throwing interceptions. I mean, hell, against the Packers, he had four interceptions. They're like, run the damn football. Like, you run the football.
I like Baker, man.
You can like him. You can like him, but the facts are still the facts. It's just like, I mean, but who are you going to take, Baker, or you going to take Deshaun?
I'm going to take Baker.
You done lost your damn mind. Over Deshaun Watson?
Yeah.
He's got too many massage therapists for that.
I'm not on that side. But the reason I'm taking Baker, Baker has success from, you know, he's having success from the beginning. And,
Deshaun was too. I mean, but you get stuck with Bill O'Brien calling plays, you know.
That's one of the best coaches to ever coach the game. What you mean?
Who, Bill O'Brien?
Yes.
24-point
I think he's the only coach that went 19-1, lost in the Super Bowl.
He was calling the plays for the Patriots, right?
When Moss played for them?
I don't know.
You knew that.
He was gone already.
When Moss was there?
Yeah, no. Nah, I think
he was there. Remember he went and coached for Penn State? He left there and went coach for Penn State.
I got to look at that because I'm right.
He went 19-1.
I checked.
He lost the last game. And then he went to Penn State and they we got to look it up, but he did some good stuff at Penn State.
Was it 08 or 07 they went 19-1?
It would have been, yeah, it would have been 2007.
It's when Randy Moss was there, 2007, my second year.
Yeah, I mean, he was with the Patriots, offensive assistant, it says. But
offensive assistant, he wasn't the coordinator. Big difference.
Who was the coordinator?
I'm going to look at that one. I'm going to find out on that one.
I mean, was it Josh McDaniels?
I was gonna say it could have been McDaniels or.
It was Josh McDaniels. Yeah, Josh McDaniels.
You just got the Penn State bias on this one, Tomba.
He did so well with Penn State. I'm sorry. Yeah, you free. Yeah, so well with Penn State.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, I had high hopes for him when he went, you know, over there.
But here's the thing. When you have a 21 or 24 point lead over the Chiefs in the AFC or division game, to where you should have been putting the game away, and you lose it,
they wasn't even good enough. Well, those are lucky points.
Hold on. First, you just praised the man like he was about to go 20-0.
That's the coach you're talking about. What happened? We had some. That was lucky. No, it was. There was another game like that. Peyton played in a game where I think they were playing against St. Louis. And he's down 21-0, first quarter. Yeah, I remember old things.
Yeah,
you remember that. and he's talking to the players like, oh, don't worry about it. We didn't even get on the field yet. And they came back and won the game.
Your last year was Patrick's rookie year.
Yeah.
When he was drafted, did you saw what he did, and obviously saw the last game that you played in it? But did you see greatness in him his rookie year that you see now? Did you know?
Well, the character. It starts with the character.
Yeah.
I think you're able to tell if you're going to have a good player by character. His character.
Agree.
Yeah, being around Patrick. He talked to Patrick. He wasn't big headed. He played with my son for like 15 minutes. You know, just that character. Him being on the football field was just, I'm just having fun running around throwing the ball. Can I say I saw Patrick playing 4 AFC championship games each year? No, I couldn't say that. I wasn't even used to that. I've been in the league long enough. I haven't seen that except with Brady. Apart from that, I think Patrick is just blessed with a coach, because I've seen the same coach. I've seen coaches coach us, and we got, you know, really good players, and we don't do well. And then I seen Andy come in with his staff, change the culture, and then these are the same players, and we do well. So for Patrick, he's blessed. Like, you got one of the best coaches in the league, and you get to enjoy that.
Before we get out of here, Mike, let people know where they can tune in and watch you and follow you on social media.
Yeah, KOTV, Channel 7, ABC affiliate, at MColeman4 on Twitter, and Michael Coleman 04390 on Instagram. Still testing the waters there. And Tom, it's great talking to you. I love your transitions you made the transition you made from playing to now doing what you're doing, because I know that's not easy for a lot of cats who play football for a long time. So kudos to you and continued success, my man.
Thanks, Mike.
Tomba, where can people follow you on social media? And also, in closing, what advice would you give these young players, especially with the Chiefs, the rookies and stuff? What advice would you give them?
As a rookie coming in, you got to find a veteran player. I did that. I was around Dante Hall. I was around Ty Law. I was around all the veteran players. They'll kind of help you, you know, push you in the direction you need to go. Playing for the Chiefs is a big deal. You know, for them to pick you, it's a family business. For them to bring you into their community, you should really take it serious and work your tail off. You know, but make this the brand. Like, you have to get up every morning, be the first one in, be the last one out. Pick everybody's brain. Be friendly with everyone in the league as much as you can, because after football, once you're done, even if you don't play 12 years, even if you play 2-3 years, this will go a long way.
All right, Tomba Lee, ladies and gentlemen, join us on the ship today with Darren Smith. We'll be back next Sunday, live in studio. If it's Sunday, not only is it Meet the Press, it is the ship with Darren Smith. Here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, we are out of here.